Welcome back to Matt Flynn Direct on Devil Radio. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. As always, I strongly encourage everyone to go to the Devil Radio website, download our app, or go to the Apple Google Store. Download our app. Take Devil Radio with you 24-7. Wherever you go, listen to your favorite shows. And I'll tell you what, if you take this signal over the AM signal, 1580 AM, it's a very good idea to download the app, because when the dark weather sets in, which is now, the FCC orders AM stations to power down. A lot of reasons. I don't want to deal with the ionosphere and sun rays and all that. But one reason is that if you didn't, once it gets dark, an AM signal goes a long way. It can go to Europe and go around the world. And suddenly somebody in Galveston, Texas, or Fort Lauderdale, Florida, is suddenly going to be listening to 1580 AM out of Madison. And you may think that's fine, except that you may be listening to something and get a Florida or German or Swedish radio station. And we don't want that. And so you want to keep control of the band. So that's the deal. Definitely. And even if you get it under FM 92.7, good idea to download the app. And while you're at it, click on the link, go to the link, support Devil Radio. Our listeners demanded the link to see ways they can support the station. You know that there are more than 80 right-wing broadcasts going out all the time supporting Trump, falsely stating that the election somehow, if not stolen, was somehow wrong, and attacking our democracy. And there is no station in the state that hits back on that stronger than we do. Okay, we're going to the lines. Dick of Madison, my friend. Thanks for calling. What's on your mind today, Dick of Madison?
Sometimes I wish the Democrats would play the stupid games of Republicans. I started thinking about Lindsey Graham and that wonderful Mitch McConnell. Here's what I come up with both of them. Last year, about 2 weeks before the election, they were both in cliffhangers of elections, especially Lindsey Graham. I remember him about 2 weeks before on the Sunday shows crying foul about all the money that was coming pouring in to the Democratic candidate. And he was in what was a statistical, close to a tie, and there was totally uncertain whether he was going to get elected. My point is, how come the Democrats didn't challenge both of those two and say, wait a minute, they didn't win? He didn't win. You know, two can play this ridiculous game. You know, both of them, all of a sudden, out of nowhere, I don't know how it happened with Graham, because he was within the margin of error, and at one point was even, in some polls, slightly behind. And then mysteriously he wins. Why didn't the Democrats cry foul about that?
Right. You know, here's the thing, though. If we start playing that kind of game, for instance, a legitimate time to have done it was in the year 2000, where Al Gore was ahead. He won by many hundreds of thousands of votes. But in Florida, the initial count said that he was behind by about 500 votes, 500 out of millions cast. And the Supreme Court, Republican Supreme Court, stopped the counting of the people's votes, wouldn't permit the recount. That was one where right-wing thugs went down there and intimidated elderly women and men trying to process the count, shouting at them and scaring them. Police didn't stop them. And when they did the audit after that, Trump or Gore won Florida, and those electoral votes would have put him over. So instead, we got a corrupt administration, George W. Bush, an incompetent. Not only did he give rise to 9/11, you know, and you can fault in retrospect his inattention to security. Maybe that would have happened anyway. But and you go into Afghanistan to get Osama bin Laden, okay. But the Iraq war was ginned up by him. He knew very well there were no weapons of mass destruction. But the sad thing about human nature is the minute a war is declared, the president's approval ratings go up to 70%. George H.W. Bush, that happened to him in 1991 in the first Iraq war. And the only thing that beat him were two things. We had one of the best presidential candidates in 100 years in Bill Clinton. And also Ross Perot got in there, got 19% of the vote. And then George W. Bush declares war in Iraq. And in 2004, Kerry loses to him. That was a contrived war done to bail out a failing president. And then we got the 2002 recession and the 2008 recession. George W. Bush, an absolute incompetent, dishonest presidency. And anytime anybody has something nice to say about him, it's, well, he's not as bad as Trump. Well, okay. All right. That is a very low bar. So, no, you're right. You're right. But it's wrong in my judgment to play that game, because then every election, the loser will cry fraud. That's what they do. That's what they do in Africa and Asia. That's what they do in jihadist countries and everything else. We're not that way. If there was ever a fraud, yes, it was 2000. And with Lindsey Graham and Jamie Harrison, I mean, Jamie Harrison was a good candidate. Graham won. I don't know all the ins and outs, but I want to stay away from allegations of fraud, except in the most extreme circumstances. I think that the Supreme Court decision in 2000, where they benefited just a member of their own party and stopped the recounting of the vote, that was wrong. Supreme Court should not stop recounting of votes, because the recount, the worst that can happen is that it's the same, and then everybody's certain. And if it's not the same, then justice would truly be served. Dick, thanks a lot for calling in. Thanks a lot for calling in. There is a new piece of information that's come out in some of the congressional investigation. Do you remember back in October, in the middle of the presidential campaign in Texas? Remember, Biden didn't win until November. So in October, the campaign was in progress. And there was a Biden campaign bus in Texas, and a swarm called the Trump train came swarming around them, trying to run them off the road. Well, scared the heck out of them. The new information that's come out is that the people on the Biden bus called the police. They called the San Marcos police, which is a local police department. And the local police department laughed. And there's testimony about how they were joking about how scared the Biden people were. And that was good. And the police chief there said, I'm not going out there to escort a bus, and wouldn't stop the violence. Why do I say violence? There's a difference between an assault and a battery. And I don't know if you knew this. If you go up to somebody and punch them, it's a battery. If you go up to somebody and swing as hard as you can and stop an inch before his nose and don't touch him, that is an assault. That is an assault. If he's walking a dog and you kick his dog, that's an assault on him. If you're in a truck, and this may have happened to some people, there's a guy behind you blinking his lights and mad at you, and suddenly he accelerates to 70 miles an hour and stops 2 inches from your bumper, he has assaulted you, even though he didn't hit your car. What the Trump train did was assault that bus and the people on it, and we're trying to drive them off the road. And as a result, the Biden bus stopped its mission, didn't go through with it in that area of Texas. When you have the police complicit in that kind of violence, that's more than just a civil, that's a criminal offense. Right now, the people on that bus are suing the police force. Suing the police force. The police force doesn't care. If there are damages, they don't pay it. They don't lose their jobs, not down in Texas. But there should be a grand jury. And that is malfeasance of duty. When you get a report of an assault and laugh, and not only don't do anything about it, but are sympathizing with the people doing the assaulting, that should be referred for a criminal prosecution. And the people involved should lose their jobs. The too many instances around the country, this is one of them, where there are going to be money damages. In Chicago, I think they've paid out, it's a different kind of issue, but almost $1 billion in judgments for police conduct. And what's the consequence? Nothing. When are taxpayers, if nothing else, even if they're not moral, going to go, you know, I don't want to pay a lot of money because we got a police force in San Marcos, Texas, who laughs about somebody being assaulted. Simply don't want that. Won't tolerate that. But nobody does that around the country. Law enforcement has to understand it's a military organization that's run by civilian authority, not the other way around. And they will follow directives from civilian authority. That they will follow. And if they don't do it and they side with somebody who's committing an assault, they should lose their jobs and it should be referred to a grand jury. The problem is if the DA in that area of the state did it, he'd probably lose his job. Ultimately, it's going to have to come from voters and the people. And as long as they are lazy and as long as they like this kind of thing and degrade themselves, they are contributing to the slow destruction of their democracy. Now, Wisco Paul referred to another thing that we did not flesh out in his call. And he said that Ron Johnson is seriously thinking of running again. He is correct. The Milwaukee Journal Sentinel has reported that he met with their editors and he told them that people are telling him he is the, quote, best chance, end quote, to keep the Senate seat in Republican hands, and that he will decide in a, quote, relatively short time, end quote. That is code for he's running and he'll announce at the most advantageous time, but to stop the speculation very soon. Nobody says, I'm told that I have the best chance to keep the seat, and then doesn't run. The truth of the matter is that the counter indicators are he has no campaign staff set up, but he can put that together very quickly, and he has a large non-campaign staff. He hasn't raised as much money as he could have, but he's still raised a couple of million bucks. But the indicators are he's still sniffing, and what he's trying to get around are two things. One thing is he promised he would only do two terms. And now he's got to say, well, I lied, I'm going to do another term. And the second thing that he's got to deal with is that he has said things about Putin. He's attacked our FBI and our CIA. He's pro-Putin and KGB, pro-Trump. He's lied about the election. He's lied about COVID. And editorial boards around the state have put front page editorials blasting him, and he will get a nuclear blast from the media for 2 years. And so he may be rethinking it, but I don't think so. And when is he going to do it? I suspect right after the turn of the year. You don't announce right around Christmas or Thanksgiving. We're going to a break. Lines are still open, 844-967-2789. A lot more back after the break.